This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So my name is Helmut Grunewald. I've been in the church for a while, one of the elders. But before I start, I'm just open in prayer, but there's, before this sermon, I just want to touch on a few things the Lord has spoken to me. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your word is alive, Lord God. And Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, this morning that you'll make it alive in our hearts, Lord God. Lord, give us revelation, Lord God. Give us an understanding, Lord God, as we read the scriptures, Lord, that only you can bring, Holy Spirit. We just bring the word to you, Lord God, and pray that you'll break it open for us, Lord, as we talk through it, Lord God, as we discuss it, Lord, Lord, in Jesus' name. So just before we start with the sermon, obviously, I don't know whether you've prepared a sermon before, but it takes a bit of time for me. I remember Fred, my pastor and founder of Shofar Church, going to bed late at night at 11 o'clock, whatever, and we were at his house. Then he says, okay, he's quickly going to prepare a sermon for, you know, in half an hour. Just excuse us, half an hour, do a sermon. It doesn't work like that for me. It takes me a bit of a while. And as I was doing that, at one point in time, the Lord just dropped something in my spirit. And I just wanted, it links to a sermon, but it's not a sermon. So it's just more word. So God was speaking to me and reminding me of a fire. And that's why there's a picture. There is a picture on there. But it's more for me to remember to say this rather than as anything else. But when the fire goes through an area, and I come from Knysna, so you would have known the fires a few years back in Knysna. They just desolated the whole area. And when you look at the landscape, when you look at everything, everything looks dead. It doesn't look like there's much left. It just looked like ashes and gray and dead. And when sometimes similarly, if you look at winter, especially in the Cape, in Cape Town, we've got lots of trees that lose their leaves. You drive through the streets and you look at all these trees and they look pretty dead. And especially in the middle of winter, it's cold. It doesn't really give protection against the weather or the rain. It just looks, it doesn't look like there's life. And what God is just saying to me is just, you know, there's a lot of us that has experienced that sort of hardships. And we sometimes feel in areas of our lives that there isn't much life. But God is saying, no, there is life. It's dormant. It may look dormant, or it is dormant at the moment, and it is going to spring up. Life is going to spring up. And growth, new growth is going to come. And the other picture that he showed me is just in terms of, if you look at a tree that's burnt, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of trees that's gone up, branches, Afrikaans, something like a word, you can all see. And branches, and when the fire comes, some of those branches just burn out. And when the new growth comes, there are actually new branches comes, or little growth comes out in new directions. And God is saying there's going to be new growth, and for some of us, it means God is going to show us things that we've not seen before, and directions is going to change slightly. Our focus is going to change slightly. So I don't know if you've got a pot plant at home. We've got this one pot plant. So it's always going to the window. So my wife has to rotate it so it grows the other way. You know, it's just going to go one way. So with this you know, change in season almost, God really wants us to refocus. And doesn't this mean it's for all of us, but definitely. So don't, if you think that there's an area in your life where there's no life, God is saying, don't worry, he's at work. It's just dormant. He's working. And there's a few scriptures that I just want you to read to you that he shared with me. And the one thing I want to say, new growth means new possibilities. New possibilities, new things. And Psalm 34 verse 18 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So if you're going through a tough time, just humble yourself before God. And he says in Zechariah 4:6, not by might, nor by spirit, not by power, but by my spirit. So remember that whatever is in your life that is difficult, it's not by might, not by power, it's by the Spirit of God. And this last one, a bruised reed you will not break, and smoking flax you will not quench. However weak you feel, however weak we feel, God will never snuff us out. If you look at that little candle burning in the wind, it almost looks like it's going to go out. God will never come and put that candle out. God will never come and break that reed. He's got enough. There's enough grace and mercy for all of us. Okay, so that was just sort of an introduction. And it links into what God has said to me is really in the last few months around intimacy. And we all have experienced God in terms of intimacy with God. And we understand human intimacy. We understand that it takes some time. When you see that girl or that guy for the first time, there's a lot of things that goes through your head. And one of the first things is, does she like me? Does he like me? You know, there's all these things that in the beginning of a relationship that comes up, and all the uncertainties and our insecurities come to play. But when it comes to God, it's so different. And sometimes we color God in with our human expectations. And God just taken me to a few scriptures that I want to take us through this morning in terms of a call to intimacy, a greater intimacy. God really desires intimacy with us. He wants a relationship with all of us. And he paid the price. He already paid the price. Like you said in John 3:16, so God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He's already done that. If I look at history, it's so beautiful to stand back and look at history, and you look at Adam and Eve in the garden. You go to Abel and Cain, and then you go right through the New Testament to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. You know, God had a plan. He said to Adam and Eve, you know, there's going to be one that's going to kill the serpent. And it took a few thousand years. God has a great plan. He's a God of detail. And where we stand in our lives, sometimes we get busy. We look at the 50 years we live, the 70 years, the 120 years we live. But God has got the whole plan in front of him. So we can relax. God actually knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He's in control of the world. And Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And in the time that this was written, it was a little bit more real in the sense that people were alive when Jesus died. This is Paul writing. So Paul was alive when Jesus was crucified. He was a man, he was alive. So Jesus died for him physically in that time when he was still a sinner. For us, 2,000 years later, it's the same. Jesus already died for us. He paid the price. God opened the door for us. He's the one that stepped out of eternity. He's the one that came closer to us. And I just want to show us this morning that God really, really loves us. He really wants relationship with us. Not just a superficial, sort of casual interaction. Like you have friends. There are some friends in Afrikaans, you know, like kennisse. Want jy ken hulle net so halfpad. Hulle is soos in, you know their names, you know their family names, you may know their children's names, but you don't really know them. God really wants us to know him, and he wants to be known by us. And it's such a precious thing before God, for me, that he allows us that. That this great and mighty God that created the universe, that he bends down, that he comes down to earth, that he lays down his life for us so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can have a life, so that we can live with him for eternity. Isn't that great? Isn't that amazing? God is so good. He's the one that draws us. Not only is the one that opens the door, he's the one that draws us. In Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I've drawn you. I've drawn you. I've enticed you. You were there, but I saw you there, and I drew you in. And in the New Testament, we have the same when Jesus is saying, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. God is the one that draws us in because he wants a relationship with us. Not just because of the things we can do. You know, like Willem said, the beauty of having a child is realizing that the child doesn't have to do anything. They just have to sit there. and you can enjoy them. They don't have to perform. You just love them because they're your child. God just loves us because we are his children, because he's paid the price for us, and he wants to spend time with us. And one of the things that I realized over time, so I've got twins in matric, so last year of school, so last kids also, the first one is university already, and it's like the one at university, I so realized what God is talking about with relationship. Because my son, when he's away at university, he's like, you know, we send him a WhatsApp message like, how are you? Okay. How was the test? Whatever word. Not more than 5 letters. You know, it's, you have to pull him, you have to talk a little bit with him, you've got to pull that information out of him. And if you're not next sitting there, then you miss him. And I feel like sometimes, you know, we are like that with God. You know, we've got to do our business. We've got to say our say. You know, we've got friends and family also like that on the phone. You know, nowadays it's so much easier, and I think most people are a little bit more accustomed with cell phones. But when I was younger, it was the old landline. That was the only thing. There was no cell phones. And some people, when you phone them and you talk to them, like, they would give you the facts. It's 35.5 degrees Celsius. The wind is north-northwest. It's going to be good weather tomorrow. Your mother is fine. Your uncle is fine. Whatever. It's just the facts. Nothing else. And because it's just business-like. But God is not interested in the business-likeness. He really wants to know our hearts. Really, He really wants to know us. And the scriptures that I'm going to use is both in the Old and the New Testament. Because we sometimes think like the Old Testament, in New Testament, we've got this great relationship. We've got this great door that Jesus opened up. The veil was torn, and we can now have this relationship with God. You know, God made a way in the Old Testament for people to have that same relationship. And they're modeling something for us back 3,000 years ago that God has shown us, is written down for us, so that we can see, so that we can know what we can have. Because we sell ourselves short. God has got so much more in store for us, and he's got such a great desire to talk and communicate with us. Deuteronomy, like I say. It's one of those words in Afrikaans I just don't want to try and say. I just never know how to do that. And it's Afrikaans. Deuteronomy 31:7-9. God is speaking there. Moses is speaking to Joshua. And he's just saying it at the end. I'm just going to read verse 8. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. Moses talking to Joshua. And he said, Joshua, the Lord goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And one of the things the Lord has just said to me is these are scriptures. It's like God will not abandon you. He will never abandon you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Once you've said yes to him, he will never leave you. He's not going to forsake you. You know, sometimes in relationships, we have this fear of the other person just running away. We see it. It happens. We've got friends. You've got family. The lady wakes up in the morning. The husband is gone. The husband wakes up in the morning. The wife is gone. We've all seen that. We've all know about that in people's lives. You know, God is not going to get up in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, God is not going to disappear. You've not exited the building. You know, he's still going to be there. He's in your boat forever. And he's really serious about you and knowing you and being with you. And Isaiah 49:15 says, God is speaking to Israel, but he's talking about this. And he says, can a woman forget a nursing child? Can a woman forget a child? So when a woman that is nursing and breastfeeding, so that's what it means, breastfeeding, can a woman forget a child? And any lady, so my wife, we have kids, you know, would know that if you breastfeed, if you don't suddenly breastfeed, then the milk doesn't go anywhere. And it's uncomfortable. You're not going to forget. You're going to be reminded every single time that you had a child or there's a child. And it says that she should have no compassion on the son of a womb. And what God is actually saying there is, can a woman forget? And the answer is actually yes. Because we know women forget, in a sense. Women abandon their children. maybe not forget in that sense, but just forget. But the thing is, they make the decision and they abandon their children. And then God says, even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. I will not forget you. It's not just about abandoning you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to forget you. You are not forgotten. I remember we had friends, and I can't remember their name. Maybe my wife will remember. They were 7 kids, and I remember the one time they were coming from Joburg down to Cape Town at a petrol station. They stopped just for normal things, you know, bathroom visit, drinks and refreshments, and then the car left. And then I don't know how many, like 4-5 hours later, they realized that they left one of the kids behind. So, you know, similar story about Jesus. You know, you think to yourself, how do you go 3 days and not notice your kid is not with you? But in any case, it happens. But God says he will not forget about you. He has not forgotten about you. Do not think that he's forgotten about you. He knows you. He knows you by name. He's with you forever. Like Jesus says, till the end of the days, forever. And I just want to read this from Jesus' own words. It's towards the end of his ministry, and he says to his disciples, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming, is now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. So you're all going to leave, and I'm going to be alone. And yet, I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. You know, sometimes in life, we're so worried about being alone, being on our own, not being understood. You know, God, the Father, God has died for us. He's given his life for us. He's invested in us. He's not going to leave us, and you're never alone. Even though you think you're alone, you're never alone. It's a lie from the devil. The devil says, speaks in our ears and says, you're alone. What you're going through, no one else has gone through. What you're experiencing, you're the only one in the face of the earth that has experienced this trauma, this disappointment, whatever it is. But it is a lie. Because you know what? We are many. 7 billion people on the face of the earth. I guarantee you there's somebody else that has exactly the same experience as you, just in the natural. But God, even though you feel like that experience is unique to you and nobody else can understand it, God understands, God knows, and he hasn't forgotten about you. I'll say that a few times. And this is an interesting one in Psalm 139, verse 3 to 6. I've got it in there, the Message Bible. You'll see there's a few translations that I've used this morning. I love reading the different translations. I don't know if you do that, but you know, sometimes you read and I love the New King James. I grew up in the New King James, and I know the New King James, but it's so refreshing to read another translation, just see something else in the word that you haven't seen before. So the Message Bible says here, God, investigate my life. This is David speaking. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back, I'm never out of your sight. Never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. You know when, trying to remember how it had been, grade one, you had some, you know, when your kids are small, when they get bigger, it's not like you are less careful, but there's a little bit more room for error. You know, if they're 18 years old and you leave them at the garage in Bloemfontein for 4 hours, they're probably going to be okay as long as there's Wi-Fi in the garage. You know, then they'll be fine. But if it's a 1-year-old, it's probably not going to be. It's going to probably be very traumatic for them. And when Ben, the oldest one, was in grade one to play some mini rugby, there's a little bit of confusion, and he decided it's Kenridge. So for those who know where Kenridge is, and we live in Oudewesdorf, so you know where that is, a few kilometers uphill. So he decided he's not going to wait for his mother, he's just going to walk home. You know? You know that feeling when you don't know where your wife phones and says, you know, he's not at school, nobody knows where he is. It's like and the hours go by, 1 hour, 2 hours, and so the police is being called, you know, those sort of things. And like physically as parents, we don't have sight of our kids all the time. It's impossible. One of our good friends at a holiday in Still Bay. If you go in Still Bay and on the beach, there's a little, all these little trees at the back. So their kids were playing around, and the 1 minute they were there, and the next minute the one was gone. Like a 6 or 7 hour search later, they found the little boy, made a little car tracks in the woods, somewhere there deep in, he just crawled into these woods. It's like, they couldn't see him, he's out of sight. You know, sometimes we cannot see people, but you know what, we're never out of sight. This is what God is saying is, you know everything I'm going to say before I stop. No, that's wrong. I'm never out of your sight. I'm never out of your sight. You are never out of sight. We are never out of God's sight. We can be out of sight of other people and our parents, but we're never out of sight from where God is, from God is. God sees us. He's always seeing us. And he knows. It's like this thing, you know, when you know somebody quite well over time, they say something and you can almost, you can finish their sentence for them because you know what they're thinking. Now, the thing is, God is even so much, he knows all of us, what all of us are thinking right now. He knows what you're thinking right now. And he can complete your sentence if you were to say something right now. He's that close. He knows you. That's what that scripture is saying. He knows where you've been. You know where you're coming from. You know when you go, when you go out to work, or when you know, don't go out to work because you're working from home now with working from home arrangements with work. He knows everything. He understands you. He knows what you're thinking. You know, our thought life is precious in terms of, not precious is the wrong word, as secret. nobody else can see it, but God can see it. He's there for you always. He's there for us. He paid the price. He already opened the door for a relationship for us. He's really standing there, that picture of the lost son, you know, that went out, the father on the stoop. You know, we only see that picture with a lost son. You know, sometimes, you know, God is standing there because you just haven't been communicating with him. He's standing there. He's waiting for you on the stoopy. He just wants to sit down with you and have a talk and have a conversation. You know, it's so beautiful when you look at Genesis. When God came into the garden, it wasn't a conversation around, so did you take out the weeds? Did you put out the bin? The fillers, the difa kudrum uitgesit. It wasn't that conversation. God just came to spend time with Adam and Eve. He wants to spend time with us. Nothing performance, nothing around what we've done. It's not a scorecard. It's not a test. It's not like, did you get the 10 points right? It's just about spending time with God. And Isaiah 43:10, this is so beautiful for me. The Lord says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. God says in the Old Testament, saying before, in the time when people had to sacrifice a lamb to cover their sins, Jesus hadn't died yet. And he says, I've chosen you that you may know and believe me. And that know is, it says they're properly to ascertain by seeing. It's like, but you, if you look at the Old Testament, that no is the same no that is used in Genesis when it says, and Adam knew Eve and beget Cain. It's a real, it's not just a knowledge of, it's not just factual. It's really a really understanding of the other person. He says, that you may know. I have chosen you that you may know me. God wants us, he desires us to know him. Not just the Bible and the stories, but to really know him, to really know who he is. Because he's so much more powerful than we think he is. All of us, me included, we box God into our own experiences and our disappointments. And God is so much greater than our disappointments, so much greater than our failures. He's so much greater than our worst failure. You look at our country and you look at COVID and what has happened. You know, God is so much greater than this. God can restore our country if we believe. If we believe collectively. God says if we humble ourselves, he will restore our country. It's a promise from God's word. All we have to do is just tap into who he is, and the only way to know who he is is to get to know him. You know, I've been married 23 years with my wife, and I think sometimes I don't know everything about her yet. You know, sometimes we, like with God, you know, we spend like 6 months and then we get disappointed because there's a misunderstanding. You know, in marriage, there's a lot of misunderstandings. Do you know how you learn one another? How you get to know how the other person thinks? It's not through the good things. It's about the misunderstandings, because you thought that, but and it wasn't good enough. You know, and you have to rethink about how you think because there was a misunderstanding. You know, sometimes we misunderstand God. We are presumptuous. We read something and we think that is it because that is something that we really desire. So when somebody says half something in that direction, we grab onto that like our life depends on it, without really checking with God, without really hearing from God. You know, classic story, I was at university and I've got this great friend. You know, we're doing all stuff together, and then he tells me one evening, you know, he's met the woman of his dreams. He's going to get married in 3 months' time. I said to him, okay, so what's her name? He tells me a name, I'm going to tell a name. And I said, okay, so have you spoken to her yet? No, he hasn't spoken to her. I said, okay, so what's the plan? No, he's going to go and propose to her. Say, here I am, will you marry me? You know, we laugh now because we know it's silly. You know, maybe it happens 1 out of 1,000, 1 out of 10,000, 1 in a million times that something like that happens, where the Lord has spoken to the lady or the guy on the other side. You go and propose and they say, yes, the Lord has spoken to me. But you know how little times that happen? Most of the time, the poor woman on the other end is just saying, have you met? Where are you from? You know, there's no rapport. There's nothing. There's no relationship. You know, how do you build relationship? You spend time with somebody. We know it in the natural. We know that if we want to have a great marriage, if we have a great relationship with our kids, we need to spend time with them. If you don't spend time, the relationship can't be that great. You have to communicate. You have to speak your heart. You have to be open. The same with God. He really wants to share things with you. He really wants to talk to us. But similarly, if you meet that lady on the first night, on the first date, you know what? You're not going to share your whole heart. You're not going to tell her all your struggles and all your secrets for the last 20 years or 40 years, however many years you've lived since that day. She's not going to do the same either. It takes time. You need to build trust, patience, to understand, to spend the time. And sometimes we think that we can like cheat with God in a sense. We don't have to do all these things. You know, God is gracious. And yes, God is gracious. But you know what? We are cheating ourselves. The same way in a relationship, if you're not invested in that relationship, you're not going to get as much out of that relationship. If you've got this great friend, but you only see them once in 3 years, you know, and they're probably not so great a friend. You know, and especially with the advent of social media and online relationships, it's so easy, those relationships, to make some connection, but there's very few of them that is worth any time that you spend on them, because it's so far away. There's no real sharing of the heart. You know, you can only grow with one and with a person, with God, if you're honest with where you are. Just in Exodus 33 and 11 and Numbers 12, 8, it's just God's speaking to Moses face to face. This is the Old Testament. So the Old Testament where shouldn't have really happened, because Jesus hadn't come. We have that ability to approach God and not be destroyed because of the blood of Jesus. But God made the way. He says to Moses, I speak with him face to face, plainly. Plainly, like you're having a braai. And you're talking to that friend of yours that you haven't seen in 3 weeks, and you have a heart-to-heart conversation. Normal Afrikaans of Engels or Khoza or whatever your language is, just a heart-to-heart communication. That's what God is saying here. He says, not in dark sayings, so not in parables, not like mingling his words. He's just saying it like it is. God wants to do the same for you and for me. He wants to speak to us plainly. He wants to tell us plainly things. Sometimes we're just not in the right position. And so we talk about estate agents will say, it's like all our position. You know, not necessarily the biggest house, but the right area. Or the best area you can afford. Not the best house in all areas, the best house in that specific, in the best area. Or the house in the best area, sorry. So when it comes to God, he's the same. Sometimes we're just out of position. God is speaking, but we're not hearing because we don't spend time with him or whatever. And God is not into judgment or condemnation. All that I feel that he's saying is, you know, it's really desire for you, for each one of you, online and here, is a desire to spend time with you. He's got a desire to get to know you. And in the New Testament, the other way around, there's two examples. It's Luke 13, where Jesus talks about the narrow way, and he also mentions it there. But here, he's talking about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, and then he talks about the others here, and he says, and the door's closed, and the virgins come and say, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. I do not know you. And same in Luke 13, 23, 27. He says, you've done all these things, but I do not know you. You know, we're in a charismatic church. There's so much happening. You know, you can do so many things for God. You know, are you known by God? Do God know you? You know, sometimes we say we know God, and we've, you know, all been in that place where we know a lot about God, but how much does he know about me? You know, and yes, he knows you because he knows all your thoughts, but that doesn't count in that sense, because a relationship is about you sharing your heart. Have you shared your heart? Have you shared your life? It's not just more about, in relationship is more than just words, it's your whole life. And with God, it is a whole life. We share our whole life with him. Not just a morning coffee or quiet time in the morning. Our life belongs to him. In John 15:15 and Jeremiah 13:3, he's talking about, Jesus is saying, I don't call you friends, and I call you friends. I'm not servants. You're not servants. You're my friends, because I have called you friends for all things that I heard from the Father, my Father, I've made known to you. That's still the case today. God wants to make us known to us, all things. In Jeremiah, God is speaking to Jeremiah and says, call to me and I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Call to me and I will answer. The invite stands today still. Call to me. God is saying, call to me and I will answer you and tell you things. Those questions you have, ask them. I'm not unwilling to answer. God is not unwilling to answer. Sometimes we're in a position we don't hear God because we've made up our mind. You know, we've already solidified the answer. We know what the answer is, and we exclude everything else. It's similar to, most of us are married, but, you know, when you start going out, I remember this guy saying, okay, but, you know, she's not my type. He's not my type. You know, we have a very good friend that nobody was a type ever. And nobody was ever good enough. Now I've lost my train of thought. In any case. Let me see what the scripture was before. Maybe I do not know you. No, I can't remember what I wanted to say. That's the old age. The train is for pass. I thought train up a fight. John 14 verse 7. When it comes to openness, vulnerability, and honesty, there's no relationship that can flourish if there's not openness, there's not vulnerability, and there's no honesty. There's any lies, any deceit, anything of that happening in the background, you know, it's going to influence your relationship. And sometimes we think, you know, we don't have to tell God. You know, God knows already. It's like any relationship. If there's something that is not known, that is a secret, doesn't matter what you do, it will influence the relationship. Because the other person, if they know you well enough, they will know that there's something that you're hiding. They may not be able to put their finger on it, but it's definitely going to have an effect on your relationship. And the longer the relationship is, the longer you're hiding that, the more influence it has. And sometimes we think that we can just, you know, that thing, we can just hide it from God or whatever, or that feeling. Sometimes it's not even a sin, it's just like we're angry with God in a certain area. We're offended. God didn't come through in a certain area. He didn't answer my prayer. Something, he didn't, the expectation, there was a breach. God didn't fulfill all my expectations. And we're a little bit offended. Jesus comes and he shows us that the Father. Before Jesus, nobody knew God really in that sense of a Father. So God, Jesus comes and he reveals that God is a Father. You know, and as we grow up, like, I mean, we parents, we see a little bit, like Willem said there, there's a things. The one of the things that was one of the greatest revelations my kids taught me is we had a first one, then twins, and before the twins were born, I was thinking, how am I going to be able to love all of them equally, because I love this first one so much. Is it possible to love? What is going to be left? How am I going to divide it? And I realized that, like most of you with more than one kid, realized that it actually multiplies 100%. You can love with all your heart one kid and all the other one and the other one. And as there's 16 of them, you've got enough love for all of them. And God is the same. God, you know, we sometimes think that God doesn't love us as much as that other person. God's love is the same. It's just the same love for all of us. It's each and every single one of us. The same love. He's our Abba Father. He's our Father in heaven. So when it comes to openness, David in Psalm 26, he says here, I don't even know which translation this is now, TH. Put me on trial and examine me, O Eternal One. Search me through and through from my deepest longings to every thought that crossed my mind. Your unfailing love is always before me. I have journeyed down your path of truth. One of the things that David gets right, and one of the reasons why he's a man after God's own heart, because he communicates. You know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. Lots of people didn't really appreciate it at the time, including one of his wives, but he was not afraid to put his feelings for God out there. And if you read the Psalms, there's so many examples of where he says, you know, and we're going to go through one example in the next 5 minutes. We're almost out of time. That, you know, he's experienced this, and he unburdens himself. He tells God all these things, and, you know, God is not going to squirm. He's not going to walk away. He's not going to turn his face away if you tell him what you really think in your heart. You know, he already knows what's in your heart, but he wants us to tell him what's in our hearts. Like David says here, search me through and through. Search me through and through. Sometimes we don't even know what's going on in our heart. We need to ask God what is in our heart. He needs to come and unveil it to us. Lies, dishonesty, deceit. All those things. Let's see here. Willem, ek gaan vir nou sê waar ons moet gaan. Slide 19. So there's lots of roadblocks when it comes to intimacy with God. Because the thing is, we've all experienced life. You know? Jesus says, just believe like a child. Because a child haven't had all the bad experiences in life. And, you know, they're not scarred. When the little kid is in the tree, you know, we've seen this in the movie sometime, the kid is in the tree and the dad says jump, you know, and the kid jumps 3 meters or 4 meters, and the dad catches the kid. But you know, if you, Daniel or James's age, a little bit older, you know, as older you get, you do the calculations. I'm 90 Ks. In my case, my dad was 1.6 meters, 165. So he's a little bit lighter than what I was and what I am. So if I jumped out of the tree now, he was still alive, I'll probably crush him. He's not going to catch me. You know, we do that calculation because we've seen it before. We've seen, I felt other tree before, and I know how it feels. I know the speed that you come down. I know that feeling, you know, but when you 2 years old or 4 years old, you don't do that calculation. You just trust implicitly. And what God wants us to, and this is part of growing an intimate relation with him, to get to that point where we really trust him. When he says jump, we can jump because we know he's going to catch up. Like when we're kids and our dads or mothers say jump and you'll be going to be fine, and you'll be fine. But there's so much doubt, distrust, guilt, offense, fear of rejection, unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a big one. You know, the old saying, we think that if we don't forgive somebody else, you know, we are keeping them in a prison, but meantime, we are the one in the prison. We are the one suffering, and our relationship with God suffers. Our relationships with people around us suffer. There's so much pressure in this age we are living in, performance-wise. If you think about Joseph or David walking around, you know, maybe there were some expectations on them, but it was like for David looking after the sheep, you know, stay alive. Because you're out in the wilderness, you had to fight the bear and the lion, you know that story? So, you know, his dad sends him out and then forgets about him also. Did God forget him? No, God didn't forget him. When it's like a classic story, I'm still, you know, in heaven you can ask, was this Jesse, what's his dad's name? Can't remember now. You know, how did you forget your youngest son? You know, you got 8 children, 9 children. The prophet of God is here. He says, bring all your children, and you forget one. And then God has to remind you. And then God chooses the one that you forgot about. Isn't that like God? You know, the people that that the world forgets about, those are the people that makes the difference. So I really want us to challenge ourselves. There's so many things where the devil comes and says, we're just not good enough. You know, you can't do it. You know, God is not interested. God is interested in you. God is interested in your life. He's interested in your children. He's interested in what you're interested in. And God is never unfair. It's just a misunderstanding, like in any relationship. We think that God was unfair because he blessed that person and they passed the exam. And I prayed and fasted, and I didn't pass the exam. And I'm offended with God because God was unfair. But you know what? You know, sometimes we overanalyze life. It's like people always say, you know, it's a devil. Sometimes it's not the devil, it's just you. It's just me. You know, it's just our own choices. The devil's actually standing. Say, God, I had nothing to do with that. Honestly. I wasn't even close. You know, like the Bible, the word says, our desires sometimes make us fall and slip up. So I just wanted the last two things, and we're out of time. Just want to look at these examples. It's slide 20, Willem. It's a story about Cain and Abel. God was speaking to them. First of all, I want to say to you, God was speaking to both Cain, both Abel. They could hear his voice. They could respond to them. It was a mutual conversation, like one person to another. And Abel had some lambs, and Cain, he was farming with vegetables, whatever. And Cain brought whatever he'd farmed with, so maybe broccoli, or for some of you, you would really bring the Brussels sprouts for sacrifice, because you didn't really want to eat that. But Abel and Cain, they knew what the instructions was. Because God says, you know what is right, but you're not doing it. So God had communicated to them that, what will I accept as an offering? Only if there was blood. Only if it's a lamb will I accept it. So Cain could have gone to Abel and says, listen here, can I trade you 10 broccoli stems and 5 Brussels sprouts for a piece of lamb so that I can sacrifice to God? But you know what? Cain didn't do that. So the word says here, and the Lord accepted Abel's offering, but not Cain's. This made Cain both dejected and very angry, and his face grew dark with fury. You know, he was really, really angry. Why? Because I toiled. You know, I farmed. The weather wasn't great. You know, there was insects. There was some sheep that came across that wanted to eat my stuff. You know, I couldn't sleep at the night. I really sacrificed for this. But in God's kingdom, the only sacrifice is that of a lamb or a dove or a cow. You know? And he knew that, but he still brought the wrong thing. So God says to him, why are you angry? Why is your face so dark with rage? It can be bright with joy if you will do what you should. He knew what he should do, but he just didn't do it. But if you refuse to obey, watch out. Sin is waiting to attack you, longing to destroy you, but you can conquer it. That's what God is saying to Cain. And we know the story. A few days later, or the next day, they're in the field together, and he kills his brother. You know, Cain was upset with God. He was angry with God. He was disappointed. You know, and the reality in life is that sometimes we also get disappointed and we are angry with God and we feel that it was unfair. We really feel it's unfair. And what we do is, generally, we run away. We hide away. Like Adam and Eve, when they knew they were naked. So what did they do? They patch up some leaves together and they go and hide. That's what we do. You know, but God actually doesn't want us to do that. When we failed, when we're angry with him, when we're disappointed, especially when we're disappointed in him, or we feel that he's let us down, he wants us to come to him because he wants to tell us, he wants to communicate with us, he wants to tell us that he really loves us and he's going to come through for you. Maybe not in the way that you thought, but he's in your life. He's not forgotten about you. He's not abandoned you. But Cain, he didn't take it to God. He was angry. He kept it inside of him, and he killed his brother. God doesn't want that for us. He wants to have an open relationship with us. And if Cain had sorted it out with God, it would have been fine. But instead, he allowed that rejection to create his destiny. Different destiny. This is not God's destiny for him. Because God says, now you're going to be a cursed man. You're going to flee forever. And then Cain says, okay, but you know, people are going to kill me one day when they find out I've killed my brother. And then God gives him a mark. God is even gracious for him. And then we can come to David, which is just the opposite. This is the second last slide we're going to look at. He says here in Psalm 35:11, malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me of things I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. But I, when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. When my enemies were sick, I wore sackcloth. I seeked God for their healing. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I was praying for them that God would recover them, that God would heal them, that they would not die. I was for them. I was being good to them. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother, as one who laments for his mother. I bowed down in the morning. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me. Wretches, what do God know, tore at me without ceasing, like profane mockers at a feast. They gnashed at me with their teeth. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from this destruction, or from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. I will thank you in the great congregation, and the mighty throng, I will praise you. I'm just smiling a lot because David is so honest here. You know, he's just saying how it is. You know, these wretches, these people, you know, I prayed for them. I fasted for them when they were sick, and now they're turning against me. You know, it's like rejection. It's like people just, it's, you know, ultimate rejection of your inner circle, people that you've really stood with, that you thought were your brother, a friend, your mother. You treated them like their mother, and they turn around on you. And what does David do? He doesn't get offended. He just brings it to God. They repaid him evil for good. And then he says, God hasn't come through yet when he wrote this. It's not yet. God has not come through yet. He says, how long, O Lord, will you look on? How long will I suffer? How long? You know, when are you going to answer? He's having this conversation. He's open with God. What he's saying is, God, I'm waiting. What's happening? You know? And then he turns his heart around like he always does at the end. And he says, put that behind me. I will worship you. Whatever this is, I'll worship you. You are God. And you I'll put my trust. And it's such a simple thing to do for us and sometimes so hard for us to do. To bring the things that are really offensive, people that offended us, people that hurt us, we get hurt. Like men, we get hurt. Our feelings get hurt. You know, if you're a Afrikaans-speaking guy, sometimes you don't want to admit that you got hurt. Too embarrassed to admit that somebody inflicted a wound on you because they didn't like your car or didn't like your braai. You know, the way you did your meat, they just didn't approve. Or the way you built your fire. You know, so many small things we do as men that are really important to us. The way you build your fire, the way you braai your meat, you know. And when somebody doesn't like that, we're offended. And the thing is, then we walk away and we don't deal with that hurt. We don't take it to God and say, Yanni, God, I'm so hurt. Yanni was so, you know, you hurt me so badly with saying my meat was overcooked. You know, it really hurt me. You know, those are the small stuff, you know. You'll be surprised how many of the small stuff gets to us. The big stuff also gets to us. Just lastly, just in reflection, slide 25. First of all, just want to read Psalm 63:8. It says here, David says, my whole being follows hard after you. I love this. This is the Amplified Classic version. My whole being follows hard after you. You know, I'm really following you and cling closely to you. Your right hand upholds me. I'm following you hard. I'm seeking your heart. It's not just something that's a 10th priority. This is really a priority for me. And my prayer for you and for all of us is that we'll be able to say the same thing to God, that my whole being follows hard after you, Lord. It clings closely to you, because that is where our strength is. God is life. There's no life outside of God. We may think there's life. We may substitute and compensate and do all sorts of things, but it's only God that can really heal us. It's only God that can really deliver us. It's only God that can really change us. And we can do some changes and some cosmetic changes if we really try hard, if we really perform well. But most of all, most of the times, God is the one that can change us, can change our situations. So I just want to leave you with this. Do you believe that God wants you to know him? I think that's the first question. Do you want to get to know God? And do you think that God really wants to, do you believe that God really wants to get to know you? Is he really interested in you? Because the answer is yes. But the question is, how do you think? What is your belief? What is in your heart? Because if you're thinking, no, God is not interested, you know, God is not for me, he's going to abandon me, whatever, then you're not going to pursue a relationship. It's like any person, if you walk into a room and you feel that this person is not interested in you, they don't care about you, they don't care where you've been, where you've come from, they're just disinterested and they walk out the door. And they're going to walk out the door soon and I'm never going to see them again. If you have that sort of perception of God, you're never going to pursue a relationship. You need to change your mind and the way that you think about God and our Father. Are you honest with God and about your thoughts and feelings? Are you vulnerable? And if you look at those roadblocks at one, which ones are those are the challenge? For some of us, it's a guilt that trips us up. We feel quickly, we miss something, we fail, we feel guilty. We run away from God instead of running towards God. Sometimes we just don't feel good enough. We just feel that there's always somebody else that's better for the job. Somebody else that can do it. And same when it comes to relation with God. You know, those other people, the intercessors, they can hear what God is saying. You know, I'm okay. You're not okay. We all, you know, to live this life on this earth and truly be fulfilled, the only way you can have true fulfillment is if you know God and have intimacy with God. Because that brings fulfillment. That brings you up to a place where Jesus also says in the woman at the well, when when his disciples brought the food, and he says, you know what, I've got a source of food that I'm not even hungry, because I was here working with my father, I did my father's will, I saw something happen here, this is food, I don't need food. There's so much more in life than that we can access. And God really desires a relationship with each one of you. And I don't know all of your names right now, but I can guarantee you God knows each one of your names. Even your second and your third name, the one that you don't tell anybody else because it comes from your grandfather and you don't really like the name. God knows all your names. So just pray. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your love, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you've planned, Lord God, salvation, Lord God, from the day that Adam and Eve stepped over the line, Lord God, to the day, Lord Jesus, when you came and when you were crucified on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that you made a way, that you opened the door for us, not just for salvation, not just to be saved, not just to go to heaven, Lord, but, Lord, your desire for us is to have a relationship with you, Lord God. And, Lord, your word is so clear, Father. It's so many examples, Lord, of your desire to have a relationship with us, Lord God. You say it explicitly. You want us to know you. And, Lord, we want to say this morning, Father, that we want to know you, Lord. We want to get to know you more and more, Lord. We desire you. We know, Lord, that you are the only life. There's no life outside of you, Lord God. We don't contain life, Lord God. It's only you that can bring life through your Spirit, Lord. And Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can just bring our hearts and our minds before you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to discern where we are deceived, Lord, where we are thinking wrongly, where we are reacting in a certain way because of a pattern of thoughts that's not in line with your word, that's not in line with your character, that's not in line with who you are, Lord. Lord, we thank you that your grace is sufficient, Lord. And thank you, Lord, there's no condemnation in Christ, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, we can just come to you anytime, Lord God, run towards you, Lord, because you're our Father, Lord. You're the one who cares for us. You're the one that knows us. You understand us, Lord. And like the word talks about, Lord, you can actually finish our sentences for us, Lord God. That's how well you know us, Lord. So we're so thankful, Lord, for the grace, Lord God, and the ability to have a relationship with you, Father. And Lord, we just want to honor you, Lord God, as the God of creation, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. You are the only one that's worthy of worship, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.